Cora. Cora Sue, do you think you could stop vacuuming, dear? Could we not have the vacuuming today at all? The racket is fraying the hell. I'm sorry, I know you don't like profanity. It's fraying the hell, the hooey out of my nerves.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want it, then we won't have it.
Thank you, Cora Sue. I'm not feeling very well today. The doorman that I get on with wasn't in, and the other doorman refused to walk Balzac. That's why he did his dirty deed on the carpet. I'm very sorry you had to clean it up. If I'd felt at all better, I'd have cleaned it myself.
Don't be ridiculous.
Why don't you take a breathing spell, dear? We'll have a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. I think I might have gotten a strain of the flu that the doorman has because I feel like a violet today. I've always thought my name was particularly unsuitable for someone of my temperament, but today I feel like a little shrinking violet. Here we go. Thank you, dear. You're not at all like my mother, Cora. But my mother didn't like profanity either. Personally, I think a conversation without profanity is like soup without salt.
Well, you shouldn't be having that either. I've been trying to tell you, salt is bad for you.
Speaking of flavorless soups, I think I might have caught this flu at the Blue Ship Diner. Do you know, the other day, I found a short black hair on my butter plate.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't Balzac's either. Do you think that might be it?
Well, I don't think that you should go there. I don't think you should be eating at the Blue Ship Diner. I personally would never eat in that establishment, ever. When were you there?
Yesterday.
You can't go a day without going there, can you?
I know. It's pathetic. It's the hub of my existence. See, when I was a young girl, it was the garden next door, the neighbors. And then when I was a young woman in Paris, it was the bistro and the corner pub. And then when I was a grown woman in New York during the war, it was nursing the soldiers, and I'd run out to the canteen. And then after the war, it was the jazz clubs and the Communist Party meetings. I never joined, but I liked to go. I thought the men looked awfully fetching with the berets and the little goatees. And then there was the bar. And there was the other bar, and there was the bar. It was a bar for a good long while. And then most of my friends who were old people died. I became fond of the new and the young. And it became the Blue Ship Diner. I'm cold.
Mm-hmm. You're shivering.
Am I?
Let's just cover you up.
Oh, thank you, Cora. You're very kind. Do you have to go now?
No.
You sure?
No, I have another hour with you.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you the story about smuggling birth control into the States before the war?
Mm-mm. No, I don't believe you told me that one.
Well, you do believe in birth control, right, dear? Your church isn't one of those that...
Well, I don't know what my church's opinion is, but yes, I do believe in birth control.
Good, Cora. I'm glad that you've got good sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I was telling you, my first husband, Bill, and I used birth control because I was 19. I didn't want to have any children abroad. So we were going back to the States for the winter. Turned out to be miserable. Most of the time we spent with Bill's family in Chicago. Dreadful sort of people, terrible time. But first we were starting at Boston Harbor. We're to arrive by ship in Boston, stay with some relatives of Bill, and take the train on to New York and make all the gay rounds for the Christmas parties. And I thought, what a wonderful stocking present for a few of my bosom friends, but to bring them some diaphragms, dear. And then I'd distribute the rest to the Sangarites to give them out to all the, to the public at large. Can you believe that diaphragms were illegal? Can you believe that still they're complaining about teen pregnancy and we still have to smuggle birth control out to the young? Can you believe that? What do these idiots think? Can't they see the connection?
No. Of course they can't. Did you watch the State of the Union address last night? Did you see them making any type of connections?
Oh, you're right, Cora. That's why I called them idiots. Well, so I got in touch with a doctor in Lyon, and he sold me a satchel full of diaphragms. All different sizes. I had around 3 dozen. And we get off the boat, and there's Bill's relatives in Boston. They're waving from the docks. Very staid, old, staunch Boston. They're going to put us up at Beacon Hill for the weekend. And we come off, come through customs without a hitch. And then Bill's cousin takes a strap of my satchel. He says, allow me, missus. I said, no, it's quite all right. He says, allow me. I said, no, that's quite all right. He says, allow me. I said, quite all right. And I was trying to hold it. And then, don't you know, Cora Sue, it ripped apart, and 3 dozen diaphragms came streaming out onto the docks in Boston. And there were people swirling all about, passengers. Everyone froze, came to an absolute standstill and just stared at these diaphragms littering the dock. People said, I turned a very dark shade of Bordeaux, which was my favorite wine at the time. And do you know what happened, Cora Sue? Right, suddenly, these Boston Irish Catholics made a mad scramble for the diaphragm. Every father's daughter, every mother's son went diving for these diaphragms. A riot broke out. Scrambling, policemen had to be summoned. Women were sticking the devices between their breasts to keep them from being confiscated. One man jumped into the harbor and swam for it. We were driven directly to the train station in the highest dungeon and put directly on the train to New York. I suppose that might have been the beginning of the foundering of my marriage with Bill, though I think even he found it funny at the time. Ha! America is a funny place, isn't it, Cora Sue? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Isn't it? Hmm? Well, that's really all I have to say.
That's all you can say.
Yeah. Well, I suppose.
Dearest Elisabetta, listen, sweetheart. It is cold here in the north of California. Now we get a ride to Mr. Schmidt's Brussels sprout farm in the truck of Danny, one of the Chicano guys. The sea wind comes like cold hands from over the cliffs and seizes us by our necks and shakes us like puppies. It rains much. The Brussels sprouts are glazed with frost each daybreak when we arrive. The Chicanos say it is good for the farm. It is the first rains like this in many years. But we are chilled to the bone of our bones. Another thing is making us shiver, Elisabetta, and that is we have a ghost. Do not worry, Elisabetta, because he has told us he comes for friendship. Emmanuel was relieving himself on the other side of Danny's truck when the ghost came behind him in the mirror. In English, he told him, Do not be frightened. I am Cobain, the friendly ghost. The Chicanos translate this as meaning he comes as a friend. But anyway, they don't believe he is really there. For some strange cause, they have not laid eyes on him. Ever since we found the little new gringa talking to herself in the Brussels sprouts, this ghost has been visiting. He is blonde and skinny and walks the cliffs. We have seen him many times, especially at daybreak. He likes our singing or humming. This has brought him twice. He stands nude, but for his thin layer of sand and his cloak of ice plants, and his figure wobbles as if we are seeing his reflection only in the stiff grass. We Mexicans have started to scatter some crumbs for him at lunch, just a few tortillas. The Chicanos laugh at us, but what do they know, the pendejos? He must be hungry, no? Elasio agrees with me that the little gringa brought the ghost. The sheriff says she was taking drugs from a dance on the beach as she walked into the sea. I think she waking him from the place where the dead are sleeping. Elasio has hurt his leg and he may have to go back home. We are afraid to go to the hospital now because they have passed a law to deport us if we go there. The Chicanos say don't worry, they never enforce their laws. But we are afraid, we don't trust this. Little Joe has a bad cough and it will not go away. He had to stop working in the fields, but he is lucky because he found a good job preparing salads in a good restaurant in Sacramento. We hope his cough will improve there and he will stop coughing blood. Pray for him and for me also, and for this lonely ghost to find his peace. I pray for you and for Nilda and Esther and Miguel and Daniel. Kiss them for me. Here's your money. Did you buy them candy for Christmas, as I asked you to? I wish I could be there at this moment to drink a coffee in the sun and watch you wash your face and neck while all of our little donkeys are braying. Love always, su esposo, Carlito.
Pittsburgh. That take you anywhere you're going?
Sure.
Careful.
Yeah.
Slam her hard. There we go. Where are you headed?
New York City. To visit my Aunt Jeanette.
You a Hoosier?
Nah.
Me neither. Illinois.
Oregon.
What are you doing in Indiana? Just passing through?
Well, I tried to visit my dad, Bruce.
Oh, yeah?
He's in Marion.
Penitentiary?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana smuggle.
Name's Wayne.
Skeeter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you upset, Sneezer? You look like you're...
I am.
It's okay, kid. Pour your heart out. I've heard everything. Keeps me awake. It's entertainment to me. Go ahead, let Uncle Wayne have it.
They wouldn't even let me see him. This has been one taxacious hitch. I mean, I grew up hitching rides, but this west to east ride's been raucous. I've been froze to death on this trip. I've been bored to tears. I was nearly raped by a woman.
Called sexually coerced by a rampant female, Skeezer. Sounds more masculine.
Sure, but anyways... Then I got stuck in engine territory.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was pretty hectic. But then I got immersed in it, you know, from a cultural vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Wisconsin, I near qualified for the frozen food section till I got picked up by a girl in the stolen pickup.
Hold on. 10-4, good buddy. Got a 14-year-old here on a crying jag. Call you back. Over and out.
I'm 16.
I knew you weren't 18.
Well, this girl picked me up. She was driving 400 miles to get an abortion.
I'm pro-life, but I can sympathize with your situation.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on. This is good.
So I was hoping on making it to Marion by Xmas, since this half-breed Sioux rancher dude gave me a ride in South Dakota, turns out he knew my dad Bruce from prison. It's fiendishly rare, but two guys who've given me rides on this hitch have known my dad Bruce from prison. Anyway, this dude said that he was going to be in something called Section C, because in addition to smuggling marijuana, he subsequent to his imprisonment wrote letters to media officials regarding his sale of reefer to this Senator Flinch Whitcomb back in 1975.
Whoa, dear.
So they would not let him have visitors, but this dude reckoned if I made it by the holidays, they might make an exception. Then I got lost in these back roads of Wisconsin. I went way north, almost froze. And then I met Camille.
Who?
The girl getting the abortion, dude.
Right.
And then I got all waylaid by her.
Wait, you got laid?
Nah. She was having an abortion, Wayne.
Wouldn't have to worry about getting her pregnant.
She was vomiting and all, dude.
I see your point.
Besides, I'm already stricken with love for these two babe dudes in Cali, Clove and Sable. I thought about falling in love with Camille, but it would have just been over much.
Right.
Seeing as I fall hard.
Oh, yeah?
So, I went to Milwaukee with Camille and I waited for her to get her abortion and then we consorted for a few days, you know, apropos of her trauma and all.
Did you get laid?
Nah, we couldn't.
Dry humping.
Yeah.
Dry humping in the pickup. You're all right, Kiefer.
Skeeter.
So why are you crying?
I'm not anymore, dude, because you're tangentially getting me distracted off of my chagrin.
But why were you crying?
Because I wanted to see my dad.
When's the last time you saw him?
9 years old, and before that, 4 years old.
You only saw him twice?
Well, till I was three, he hung out with me and my ma, Linda, but after that...
He split!
That about summarizes it.
So what happened?
Well, they told me at Marion that he was in Section C, and I couldn't see him. Couldn't even so much as write him a fucking note. And when I said that must be on the illegal slope of the criminal justice climb, they started to ask me if my age was of legal tender and for ID, so I told them my ma was outside in the car and she didn't want to come in, and then I gave him my fake ID. And I exited rapidamente.
Good lie. Good escape. You did good.
Yeah, I just walked a real long ways, and then I thumbed down your massive vehicle.
Her name is Debbie.
Huh?
The truck.
Oh, hello, Debbie. And the rest is contemporaneous.
That was good, Jeeper. Time for a donut break. Crack open that Hostess box and hand me that thermos. Let me tell you something.
What?
You're better off.
What?
You're better off you didn't see him. Your old man's a troublemaking loser.
That's what my ma Linda says.
Mother's always right, Jeep.
Skeeter.
Mother's always right. Gulp of Joe?
Thank ye.
Yep. It's a long haul. It's a long haul, but we're gonna make it. We gotta.
Yep.
Yep. We gotta.
Why were you so late for class? And why didn't Posner say anything?
Because I was talking to that hectic counselor. They think I'm all suicidally tendacious ever since I walked into the ocean at that rave. They think I'm all Generation X and all influenced by Kurt Cobain. It is so dull.
What did you say?
I say no. Duh. Star. Star. Star.
But it is true. You do have those fiendish dreams about Casey. Spiral. Spiral. Spiral.
Yeah, but that is the ghost of Kurt Cobain. That's not Cobain himself. You know that we were never all fan-like. I only started to like In Utero recently, and you even disagree with me about that. Anyway, that's different. He's haunting me because he saved me from drowning, and he wants something. It's not the same as being all influenced. This note is way too fucking long.
Yeah, it really was. We had to start a new sheet of paper, and we hardly did any drawings. Posner is so dull.
I know. I hate when he gets all hectic about Bosnia and stuff. I get all more than agged. I get all, like, I can't breathe and all complex, like, bolted.
All bolted?
Like, all, I can't breathe. I just can't think about all those people in that country too much. All trapped in that city like that and all those armies and all.
Right? So, don't think about it. But are you sure you're not all influenced by Cobain and stuff? You do look a tad fiended. Are you still sleepwalking?
I think so, because yesterday I woke up in my little brother's room scratching his onion. I mean his guitar with an onion.
An onion? What were you doing scratching Kyler's guitar with an onion?
Sleepwalking. Duh. Ah, you are egging me to excess today.
Right, so then let's talk about Bosnia with Posner.
This class is so learning impeded.
Know that. Whose idea was it to take this for our history credit?
Well, it was a good name.
This century in the news is a good name? Boing, boing, boing.
Yeah, well, I thought so at the time. Dude, I've been getting raging headwaves about that boy we met at the rave, Skeeter.
Did you get a letter from him?
No, I was all drowned and arrested. How could I give him my address? Did you?
Good. Yeah, he sent me a postcard.
What do you mean, good? What did it say? Flower petal.
It said he thinks of me all the time. Teardrop on flower petal.
Well, I'm sure if he had my address, he would have written me too. That's funny, because that's what he says in my dreams. Penis near teardrop.
That he thinks of me all the time? Ooh, I'm so ultra planted.
No, that he thinks of me all the time.
Well, he sent me the postcard. Lips. Next to penis.
Well, did he ask for your address?
No.
Fags. Underneath. Lips.
No, I put it in his pocket when he hitched off.
Oh, so you threw yourself in his pocket. How was his pocket? Long hand with long, sharp fingernails, dripping droplets of blood, covering the entire page.
New sheet of paper. It doesn't matter. Never mind.
I'm gonna get stoked in the bathroom after class. You wanna come?
No, I want to be alone.
She wants to be alone. Lady wearing veil.
Yes, she does. Black up.
Cobain, is that you? He went out the window. Take a look at that blue vein. Shining through my pale skin, like the vein of Cobain, who died in pain, blowing a bullet through his brain. Take a look at my blue vein. Tree is bare, branching, branching. Sew it to his blue brains, like thread, winding, winding, turning and split, branching and bent, but never slit. Still spun from the heart. Bare branch, blue vein, carry it with you to the beat. Blue, blue, blue vein in rap. Blue, blue, blue vein, spin out. Blue vein, run bold, blood fast, blood sweet. Blue vein, unfold, unclasp, unseat. Blue vein, run wild, without puncture. Blue vein, run ravenous deep, but do not rupture. Bare branch, blue vein, entrap me with your dance. Practice my pulse, enchant me with your chants. This is no ode to sad Cobain, who died in vain. This is the ode to my blue vein, shining through pale skin.
Come on, Paul. Why don't you let me run the crystal energy on you? It'll feel good.
Oh, you feel good enough for me, Jeanette, hon?
No, I mean on a cellular level.
Why don't we leave well enough alone, Jean, and agree to disagree, stay on this level?
Because I want you to feel healing energy. I want to open you up, wide.
Can't you just massage my prostate like you used to?
I'm not your mistress anymore, teddy bear.
I'll leave my wife Polly if you massage my...
See? This is it, the crystal. It's Mytilene stalagmite cave crone crystal from 1500 BC. Lie still, Paul.
Right.
Breathe.
Breathe?
No, do it. I'm picking up a lot of bilious energy in your ninth gate. That's the seat of the conscience. Paul, your eighth gate is blocked by smoke from fires, industrial explosive fires. Paul, oh, goddess, you've been involved in the deaths of thousands of people. Paul, oh. Oh, people were trapped. Children died. Mothers, fathers, their bodies piled up. They panicked. They couldn't escape. It was a decision that you made on paper. I see the brown hairs on your wrists with your Rolex, your fingers holding a pen, signing a document. Let me see if the crystal can clean this up for you. It can't. It's... let me move on to your seventh gate. Oh, I see an ancient forest, and running through it, a beautiful river that is making everything die. It is filled with an invisible poison. The fish are floating bellies up. Oh, Paul, what does this have to do with you? Your mouth is moving. I see men's ears listening. They're listening to you, Paul. Their hearts are beating under their ties. They're taking your words to heart. Paul, let me see if I can do this. The crystal's trying to cleanse this for you. This is getting difficult. At your sixth gate, I see your wife, Polly. She's tired. You've lied to Polly. You've lied to your family. You've lied to me. The crystal! Look at it! It's turned black! It's burning! Oh, Paul! You have to go! Do not fit into my new life! I can't go through this again!
Okay, Jeanette.
How can you seem so sweet to me and be responsible for all of this?
That's just it. I wasn't responsible.
But you men are supposed to be responsible!
We aren't.
I see. That's why Polly hates you.
She doesn't hate me. She loves me. I lied.
I see.
I better go now,
Paul, don't go. Hold me.
Oh, Jeannie, you're better than all of this. You've made a new life for yourself. I'm so proud of you getting out of the business and into this crystal razzmatazz. It's remarkable. I can see that. It really is. You don't need a
dolt like old Paul Folsom? You're healing, as you like to say, Miss Gladys Noir, and you'll get there. I know it.
But why is the wonderful, sweet man comforting me and advising me to break off with this evil man, the same man? Why?
Why does moss grow under bridges? I don't know, Jeanette. If I knew anything, would I have lived my life this way? All my life I've done things, and I've expended enough brain power to accomplish those things. But do you think for one moment I've ever known anything? If I have, it's been that I love my children, and I love making love to you, and even those infrequently.
Oh, Paul, I love you.
You shouldn't.
Like a disco inferno. It's singing up inside Bushy's piss pipe. Bushy has done a big whack on the pipe tonight, and now they are playing my piss things. It's the truth. I got singing piss, people. Whammo! Don't throw eggs at me, you condo-ass wonder breads. Those people can't throw. You think if Bushy was throwing eggs at your wonder bread ass, if Bushy would miss? No, the answer is no. Bushy pissed upon a star today. Bushy pissed upon a star. I used to piss here, hole, where my tree used to be. That's one reason she died. Everybody pissed on her. And then that night, the cops yanked it real hard. The night that condo asses had me tied to it in the rainstorm. I was cursing. That's what killed my tree. The sanitation took her away after Christmas, and I swore, out of respect, that I will never piss on this spot again. Those Wonder Breads, stop throwing eggs! You missed again! Why don't they buy a new tree? Huh? Now that the fundings are cut, buy a new tree. Bushy's smart. Bushy knows. Bushy pissed on a star today. It was Charlie French. I go, ain't that Charlie French who had those hits back in the 70s? Me and my main girl used to dance to jump on the jam slide on her brother Felix's 8-track. We used to dance. Bump, 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 bump. Bump, bump, bump. We jump off of her granny's plastic wrap couch, stand on the top, jump on the jam, bam, till we had all black and blues. I fucking idolated Charlie French. I said to all my PR black bitches, I said, see, white people could get down on it. White people could funk it up. Look at Charlie French. Is he hot or is he not? Yeah, and they had to agree. Me and Magenta was little. We made up dances. I used to blow her belly button like this. Magdalena Rickobar. Magenta Rush. Nobody knows. Nobody knows but Bushy and this tree hole what Bushy did. So he pulls up to the curb and I go, it is Charlie French. He goes, which one of yous will piss on me? Pam wouldn't. Nuts didn't feel too good. Snapple said she had enough perverted rides for one afternoon. I go, you used to be a star. Why do you want me to piss on you? I'll do you regular. He goes, I got real women for that. I want one of you for degradation. I didn't want to, tree hole. But Terry had just took my whole take, and I needed something for myself. So I pissed all over him and his Grace and Ann down by Time Storage Warehouse. I pissed on him, but inside I hummed his song,
Thump, 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 thump. Then he gave me a 20, which is cheap when you think about how big a hit he had back in 1975. But I took it for my hit, and I took it for real. Stop throwing eggs! You missed again, you lame asses! And now I'm way up beyond the stars, like I'm way up inside Magenta Rush's belly button. I don't care if she don't love Bushy no more, and she married to that Christian-ass Bible dealer, cause inside it's singing, my pee hole is jingling. Jump on the jam side, do the funky glide. Ooh, baby, I love you. Ooh.